You would open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. This evening we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. When I was assigned this passage, I thought, great, I get to preach on one verse. Oh boy, was I wrong about that. As you will see, this is quite a powerful passage that we're going to be looking at. If you brought your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. If you have it in front of you, there is a Bible in the pew found on page 115. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father, as we consider this passage this evening, pray that you would give us heavenly insight. Insight in what does it mean to be a Christian husband? What does it mean how we are to treat our wives? I pray that you would sear this text into our hearts to the glory of Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Greco-Roman culture, before and during the time of Christ and during the time of the early church, had a low opinion of and dealt harshly with women. In Greek culture, women were thought to be inferior from birth. They had few of the rights of men in their society. The dramatist Aeschylus wrote the following chorus about women. He made it into a song. Evil are they and guileful of purpose with impure hearts. Put that to a tune. The Greeks believed that men had more in common with the gods and women had more in common with the animal kingdom. It was much the same in Roman society. The writer Plutarch, a Roman citizen in the first century AD, in the time of Christ, in the time of the early church, said that all women were deceitful, savage, frivolous, and gossips. The Roman historian Tacitus, also a Roman citizen writing during the first century AD, said that women by nature are cruel. In marriage, women were not equal before the law. They could not be active in politics. They were not taught to write. Under Roman law, men could divorce their wives if their wives went outside of the house without a veil on. Husbands could have their wives killed for adultery. Women had to be faithful, but men didn't. Men could freely go to prostitutes. Men could freely have concubines. Men could freely have other women. In both Greece and in Rome, wives were under the harshness of civil law. They had few of the rights and privileges of the law. They had little recourse to stem the abuse of a husband. This is a dominant culture when Christ came to this earth and when the early church was born. And into the midst of this abusive, exploitative culture comes Christianity that espouses a new ethic in regard to the treatment of women in general and regard to wives in a marriage relationship in particular. I want you to understand, this is true, that what Christianity espouses in these relationships is radical and profound and far-reaching and world-changing. It's simply amazing to go to the New Testament to see how Jesus dealt with women. how he treated them tenderly, with compassion and respect. Classic examples of Jesus' interaction with the Samaritan woman. His love for Mary and Martha. His compassion on Mary Magdalene. But what we need to understand was not only the culture, the Greco-Roman culture, exploitative of women, but so was Judaism of the time. Judaism in the first century, in which Jesus taught, did not view women or wives as equal to men. Josephus, a Jewish writer of the first century, writes, "The woman is in all things, according to the Bible, inferior to the man." One rabbinical saying from the Talmud about women was this: they are greedy at their food, eager to gossip, lazy and jealous. In the daily prayers of the Jews, the worshipers would say the following: "Praise be to God that He has not created me a Gentile. Praise be to God that He has not created me a woman. Praise be to God that He has not created me an ignorant man." Women, according to rabbinic customs, were not allowed to study the Torah. They weren't allowed to study the Bible. A first century rabbi named Eliezer, a very famous rabbi in the first century, in the time of Christ, said the following: "Rather should the words of the Torah be burned than entrusted to a woman." What we see, however, is that the early church didn't follow Judaism, didn't follow Greco-Roman thought. The early church followed Christ in how a woman should be treated and how a wife should be treated. And that's what our passage is about this evening. It's merely one verse, but it packs a punch. It packs a punch. Especially when we see it in light of the dominant Greco-Roman culture of the time and the Judaic culture of the time. What a punch this is that Jesus comes and He treats women this way. And the early church follows His treatment. Look what it says. Let me read that again. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." I want to go through that verse point by point. I want to make four brief points this evening directly from the text before us. Point number one: likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Peter, speaking directly to Christian husbands, tells them to live with their wives in an understanding way, according to understanding or according to knowledge. Live with your wife according to knowledge. And so what he's commanding us is the behavior of the husband toward his wife as a Christian is, first of all, one of tenderness and one of consideration. It is the Christian husband who seeks to know his wife. Who seeks to know his wife. One commentator I read, I thought, really put it well. He said this: "Husband, you must become a student of your wife." Husband, you must become a student of your wife. You must spend time like a student, giving attention to her, studying her, giving devotion to her. She needs detailed investigation regarding her heart and her mind and the things that are important to her. You must seek to understand her spiritual character. Become a student of your wife. Men, Don't look at your shoes. Look at me. Become a student of your wife. And let me ask you, husbands, do you understand your wife? That's a hard thing for husbands. I can say that. My wife's not feeling well tonight, so she didn't come. So I can really be honest with you tonight. You can't tell her anything. Anything I said. It's hard for us husbands to do that. But Peter's not letting us off the hook. Live with your wives and understand them and be a student of your wife. In fact, the word husband, it's an interesting word. It's an old English word that means to cultivate. Kind of like animal husbandry. You cultivate animals. Okay, well, it's the same thing here. We are to understand our wives. We are to cultivate them. We are to help them to develop in spiritual things. We are to treat them well. We are to be considerate for their good and for their benefit. So husbands, become a student of your wife. I don't care if it's like me, been married 40 years. Or Steve, how long have you been married now? 2 months. Become a student of your wife. I'm not going to let any of you off the hook. Become a student of your wife. Point number two. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Point two, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Here's another command from Peter, the apostle, telling Christian husbands that we must show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now we need, I didn't want to preach on this passage. This is why. Let's deal with Peter's statement that the woman is the weaker vessel in the marriage relationship. Many commentators, and I agree with them after I studied this a lot, believe this is referring to the fact that men are generally physically stronger than their wives. And a husband could use that physical strength against his wife to get his way. But husbands are in no way to abuse their wives physically. They're the weaker vessel physically. You do not use that against them. If that's happening anywhere in this church, pastors need to know about that. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. Love your wives. Now, what Peter is not saying, he's not saying that women have weaker character than men. He's not saying that women are lesser spiritually than men. He's not saying that. That is simply not the case. As Paul says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Do you see what Christ did when he came? He broke down all those walls. And Peter is adamant that husbands are not to treat their wives cruelly or in a demeaning manner, but they are to honor their wives. Did you see that word there? Showing honor. Not just saying it, showing it. Showing honor to their wives. The first century writer Josephus uses this very word that's found here, honor, to describe the honors that the Roman general Titus bestowed on his troops after they had captured Jerusalem during the Great Jewish War. It's like pinning a medal on them. Indeed, my wife deserves a medal for living with me. A Purple Heart, I think. This is one of the ways that a husband's authority is to be exercised. Men, we are to honor our wives. We are to respect our wives. That's showing authority. That's showing true authority. Great Puritan writer Matthew Henry put it this way. The husband should be giving due respect to her, protecting her person, supporting her credit, delighting in her conversation, affording her a handsome maintenance, and placing a due trust and confidence in her. Christian husbands here tonight, does this describe you? Does this describe you? Charles Spurgeon, looking at this verse, said, Christianity has taught that honor should be given to the wife. If there are any husbands who do not so, they err from the gospel way. Let me read that again. Christianity has taught that honor should be given to the wife. If there are any husbands who do not so, they err from the gospel way. The next point that Peter makes, first point, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Secondly, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. So that's the next point that Peter makes, is that we should understand that our wives, and we should honor and respect them because they are heirs with us of the grace of life. Some of the early Greek manuscripts of 1 Peter actually say that wives are joint heirs or co-heirs of the grace of life. I think that's absolutely correct. They are co-inheritors of grace along with their husbands. Now, what does that mean, that they're co-inheritors of grace? First, it means that they are not lesser spiritually than the men. Women, as men, have been saved by the grace of God. They are full recipients of the kingdom of God. They are full inheritors of eternal life and full heirs of the heavenly Canaan that is imperishable, undefiled, and will never fade away. They are equal before their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of the bountiful grace that He has lavished upon them. Remember, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Dr. Kruger, the president of RTS Charlotte, in his most recent book titled Christianity at the Crossroads, he has a great chapter that describes how women in the Greco-Roman culture of the day, of the first centuries of the church, flocked to the church. There's an argument that the early centuries of the church, that 70% of the members of the early church were women. They flocked to the church. And why did they come by the thousands? It's because, as Peter says, they received the grace of life. Women are co-heirs of the promises of Christ. They have full acceptance. They have full citizenship in the kingdom of God. They run to the cross. Finally, point four. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Point one, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Point two, since they are co-heirs with you of the grace of life. Point three, And finally, so that your prayers may not be hindered. That's an odd ending to that verse, isn't it? So that your prayers may not be hindered. It's a strange ending. But finally, what we see is when a Christian husband treats his wife with honor and understanding and respect and as a spiritual equal, there's an interesting consequence. The prayers of the two of them are not hindered. They're not disrupted. They're not cut in on. The point here is that a good Christian marriage, as Peter describes, is sanctifying for both the husband and the wife. They together grow in grace and truth. They pray together. There's a spiritual oneness in their marriage as co-heirs in the grace of life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The commentator Louis Barbieri says about marriage, partnership in the physical realm will produce children. And partnership in the spiritual realm will produce answered prayers. As we saw last week, when the wife properly submits to her husband, and this week the husband honors and respects his wife, there will be a peaceable, mature, Christ-honoring marriage that will grow in grace and truth. That's what that last line's about. I read that verse. We see this beautiful picture of a Christian marriage. And in light of the Greco-Roman culture of the time, and in light of the Judaic culture of the time, what's being espoused by Christ and what's being espoused by His church is beautiful and wonderful and sweet and tender. It's a type of marriage that all of us could and can hope for in Jesus Christ. Now, the sad picture today is that our culture looks at Christian marriage not as sweet and not as beautiful and not as tender and not freeing, but the world sees Christian marriage as oppressive and demeaning to a woman. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that ironic? Here we are in a society that gives accolades to Hugh Hefner at his recent death. Here we are in a society that has an entertainment industry that is rife with the sexual abuse of women, movie after movie that exploits women, and they say we are oppressive when it comes to marriage. See, our society has it backwards, has it upside down and inside out. And you know, the prophet Isaiah, he dealt with these people all the time. And he warns us of such people in Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to what he says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Don't you fall for what the world's telling you. Don't you swallow that pill. It's the lie of the age. What we see in 1 Peter chapter 3 is God's desire for marriage. And God's desire for how women are to be treated. It's really exquisite. It's really sweet. It's really tender. It's how Jesus dealt with women. And we here tonight who are Christian husbands, we need truly take this teaching to heart. Is this how you treat your wife? May we pray that the Holy Spirit would empower us men, empower us as Christian husbands, to treat our wives the way Jesus treated them, in love and tenderness. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, we're in a society where there's a great breakdown of marriage. We're in a society that's so broken in this area. And you have given us the answer. We just pray, O Lord, that you would come in power, that you would bring a reformation to this land, not only in marriage, but in all things. We pray for you to come, Lord Jesus, and to change the hearts of we sinners. We pray this in the wondrous name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.